الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you with regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and the rituals of the authentic Islam or authentic faith, which is Islam. Also, please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. And I want to also encourage you all to maybe make a little, I guess, a party out of it, or a sit down and listen section with yourself, with your family, with your friends. And then after you all listen, you all can discuss what I discuss. Discuss what I'm discussing in class with you. You also can discuss it in groups. Have a short group section afterwards to talk about whatever topics I'm talking about. You could turn to any episode and talk about whatever I talked about on that particular episode. And it's certainly okay. And if you have any proof contrary to what I'm saying, okay, you can always present your proof, or you can just listen to what I'm saying, and hopefully understand that I'm only saying what I understand to be right, and no more and no less than that. So let me continue. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, and pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. This particular class, I talk a lot about the companions of the Prophet, Abu Huraira, Umar, Abu Bakr, and the like. And so what I want to do is just discuss just a little bit about one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And his whole name was Abdullah ibn Maktum, M-A-K-T-U-M, Maktum. Maybe spelled different ways with other people, but I want to just discuss him just a little bit. And so I'm going to read Quran, and this is Surah Al-Abasat. I'm not going to give you the chapter. I'm not going to say it in Arabic and English. I'm just going to tell you it's Abasat. And it's at the last portion of the Quran, around 86 or so. So I want you to look at that, to find that chapter. Open up your Quran. I'm going to give you, because I usually just kind of give everything to you. But I've been doing this class since 2018. And so now it's like, it's almost 4 years later. And so, but this time you should have an understanding of if I say this particular chapter or ayat, or what you also call not just chapter, I might say, okay, look for a particular chapter and then a particular verse or ayat that you or surah, which is chapter, and then ayat, which is verse. I usually kind of give that to you, but no, not this time. I'm going to tell you the name of the surah. I'm going to give you a chapter and give you approximately where it is. But you go flip to your Quran and look for chapter or surah Abasat. A-B-A-S-A. And so look for that in your book. I'm giving you a little chance to look at this, look for it. And this is a class. You don't just listen to this, to what I'm saying, and that's it, and just walk away and say, oh, okay, well, it sounds good or it sounds bad. No. It doesn't work like that in the class. You all know me by now. And so you look for chapter Abasat A-B-A, okay, S-A. And so hopefully you all found it by now. And so I'm just going to read like maybe the first few ayahs or verses of this particular chapter. Verses of this particular chapter. The first 12 or 16, it talks about an experience or an encounter that the prophet, may peace be upon him, he had with one of his companions. And so I want to try to give you the story about what took place regarding that companion, that Allah intervened. But Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he did something. Allah didn't necessarily approve of it. And he addressed it in forever. And he addressed it until there is no more mankind. And he addressed the Prophet, may peace be upon him, directly about what he did or the behavior that he displayed. And so I want to mention this to you all. And then after that, I'm going to talk about how the Prophet was and his kindness and him encouraging us to be kind. So I want to share those experiences with you. He was a human being. He had his shortcomings. Anyone has shortcomings, and sometimes a companion asked the prophet, "Say, is it from you, or is it from Allah?" When he directed them to do things, some things they came from Allah, and some things they came from what he thought. Like with people cultivating trees, they did certain things with trees, whatever was happening with trees. He's saying, "Well, why don't you try something else? Try this differently instead of cultivating the trees this way." And so they tried it, and it didn't work. And so they saw for themselves, and people asked the question, okay, is this thing about religion from you, or is this thing from from Allah? Because I know the thing is basically from him, because he may not know about the particular thing, but he may give his advice about this, like he did with the cultivation of the, I think it was date plants, or date trees. It wasn't very a good advice to those who farm these particular plants, and didn't work out very well for them. And so Allah will address certain things, and he addressed the way the prophet treated this particular man. But I won't go on and on. Let me just get into it right now. Because by now you should have found Abbasah, which is the particular chapter that we'll be reading from, at least the first 12 to 16 ayats or verses in this particular chapter. Abasa wa tawalla anja'ahu al-a'ma wa ma yudrika la'allahu yazzakka aw yadhakkaru fatan fa'ahu dhikra amma man istaghna فأنت له تصدى وما عليك على يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره. So I will stop there. This protects the section. I'll read it in the English. He, the prophet, frowned and turned away when there came to him the blind man, Ibn Maktum, who came to the prophet and interrupted his conversation with the chiefs of Mecca. How could you tell? He might have, this is Allah addressing the prophet, how can you tell? He might have sought to purify himself or become reminded, and might have benefited from our reminder. As for him who is indifferent, to whom you were attending, you would not be held responsible if he would not purify himself. Yet to him who came to you with zeal on his own and with fear in Allah in his heart, you gave no heed. It should not be so. Indeed, this is but an admonition. Let him who wants accept it. And so I want to read this thing, kind of a tafsir, further explanation of these particular ayahs and what Allah was basically saying to the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. More than one scholar of Tafsir, T-A-F-S-I-R, which Tafsir is an explanation of Quran. Sometimes it's a various scholar's opinion of what Allah is saying in a particular verses, a particular chapter of Quran. It mentioned that one day the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, was addressing one of the great leaders of the Quraysh. That was a tribe at that time, while hoping that he would accept Islam. While he was speaking in direct conversation with him, Ibn Maktum came to him, and he was of those who had accepted Islam in its earliest days. He, Ibn Maktum, then began asking the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, about something, urgently beseeching him. The prophet hoped that the man would be guided, so he asked Ibn Maktum to wait for a moment so he could complete his conversation. He frowned in the face of Ibn Maktum and turned away from him in order to face the other man. Thus, Allah revealed Surah or chapter Abasa, again A-B-A-S-A. And so, we see from this particular chapter, I know when people frown, you probably say, oh man, what's wrong with this man? This is a prophet you want us to follow? He was a human being, and he made a human error. Because the prophet Muhammad, he is well known for a person that respected a person who was directly in front of him. If you can read more about this man's character for yourself, don't go by what I'm saying. You can read for yourself about this man's character and that he would face a person directly. His eyes would be directly focused on an individual. Sometimes we know we're talking to somebody, unless it's our boss or something like that. We may look in a whole nother direction. Yeah, I'm listening. Have our head down, our head up, our head to the side, something like that. And I guess we're sort of paying attention to them, but we're not directly looking at them. Or when the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he would do the opposite of what many of us would do. He would look directly at the person and focus on the person and let the person know, look, I'm paying attention to what you're saying. It doesn't matter if the person is a king, a queen, or a person who is poor. It doesn't matter at all. He would give that person his undivided attention and give them the respect that they deserve. And this man, this blind man, he came to him. Maybe he didn't know it. I heard a conversation because he was blind. I'm not making an excuse for the situation. I was not there. And maybe he wasn't realize that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, was talking to someone else. Because he was basically used to going to the Prophet and getting the various answers about Quran or things he wanted to know about Islam. And so this time was no different. And Allah knows best about the situation. But whatever the situation was, I was not there. Those people who were there, present on that day, at that time. And Allah was there, and he's with us now. And so he know what took place. And then he mentioned it in the first 16 ayahs or so of the particular surah, chapter Abasa, where he mentioned to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and what he should be doing and should not be just paying attention to this man who may or may not accept Islam, but pay more attention to this man who accepted Islam and coming to you as a reminder from Quran, a reminder of something dealing with the deen. The deen basically means religion of Islam. And so Allah knows best. And so hopefully no one who does not like Islam will not use this against Islam, against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, say, see, he was this or that to a handicapped person, all these kind of things that people say. You know, this is not true. You have to really understand the situation, be in the situation, and be present in the situation, and none of us, not any one of us, was present at that situation with the Prophet Muhammad and Abdullah, Ibn Maktoum, and those other people that were around him. So we don't know that the situation. We just know what Allah says regarding that particular situation and his response to Prophet Muhammad and correcting Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, regarding a man who is seeking knowledge, more knowledge about Islam, so Islam can grow and look on the other side of it, the man who was, he was trying to hope that he would embrace Islam. Both people are important, but Allah said what he said to the Prophet Muhammad, and Allah knows best why he said what he said. I'm not here to say anything regarding that. I'm just here to relay to you the story about this particular verses in Quran. Now, this man, Umm Maktum, yes, he was one of the few people, Sahaba, or companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and blessed be upon him, was blind from birth. And some people are blind later on in life, and they get a little bit older, or they get really old in elderly, and they become blind. You learn about some of the scholars of Islam, they became blind when they become a little bit older, and then some people, when they had a certain age, they became blind. There was one young person who was blind, and then Allah healed them and make them be able to see. And then you have other stories where a person is blind, be able to see, and then they're blind again. So there's a lot of different stories. I won't go into that because that's not the purpose of this particular storytelling regarding one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which was Abdullah ibn, our son of Umm Maktum. And he was, Allah bless him, he was one of the people that he knew the Quran very well, the book that I have next to you, and read along with me. And so he was one of the teachers in Medina, and he's just a city in Saudi Arabia. And so he was one of he was just not an ordinary person here. He was one of the teachers of the Quran in Medina. And also, he was the Mu'adhin. He was the one that called the people to come. This time for prayer, our prayer time is in, particularly for the Fajr prayer, for the morning prayer, just before the sun rise. He was the one that would call the people, it's time for prayer, prepare yourself for prayer. He would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, to the end of this particular calling of Adhan, or calling the people to the prayer. He would do this thing for the Fajr prayer in a very beautiful voice, much beautiful than my own. He was also the person that led the prayer. When the Prophet not around or other leaders are not around, the blind man would lead the prayer. So he knew Quran and taught Quran very well. He was a man Allah talked about in these 16 verses of Quran. He was the Mu'adhin. He was the one that called the people and woke the people up early in the morning and say, people, it's time to get up. And it's time to make the prayer. And people will rise up out of their beds, out of their sleep. And then they would make ablution or wudu and wash or purify themselves. And then they would go to the masjid and they would make the prayer and then maybe do some kind of class afterwards and go home and go to work or go to sleep or whatever. They continue their activity. Also, this man was in charge. He was what you would call a governor of Medina when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not there. Say the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he left for business, or he left for the fight in some war or something like that, then the person that he will leave in charge, not just anybody, he will leave this man, Abdullah Umm Maktum, leave him in charge of Medina. And at that time, we have to keep in mind, we have Islamic State. It's not harming, no harm in Islamic State. Some people say Islamic State, oh, they're trying to get us. No. Medina was the first Islamic state where Islam was originally really established there. All the bits and pieces fit well at that time into Medina. The prophet, he was invited. He was having a hard time in the place of his birth there in Mecca. His own kinfolk, they were giving him a hard time, his old kin. And the people that he knew and grew up with, they were giving him a hard time because he was a prophet of Allah, a prophet of Allah. And so the people in Medina said, look, Prophet, look, Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, we accept you in Medina. Just come and preach to Medina and we will accept you. We will not give you a hard time. And he basically, I'm just trying to paraphrase it, fine. And then he went to Medina and established basically the first Islamic state. And read about Islamic state, not this stuff that people put out there. Oh, I want to establish Islamic state and we do this and do that. No. Read Islam from Islamic texts about Islamic state and what is in an Islamic state and the beauty of an Islamic state. Read it for yourself. Don't be told what Islam is by anyone. Read it for yourself, not even by me. You can read everything that I'm mentioning. You can read it for yourself in the various texts on Islam, written by Islamic scholars, not by other people. They write about Islam and they get their own curve on it. And it's not really true what Islam is because they have a hidden agenda. The only agenda that we have as far as Islam is concerned is just to tell you about Islam and that's it. No other agenda whatsoever. Just give you a clear picture of what Islam is and also invite you to investigate for yourself what Islam is. It's a simple thing to do. Is the books on Islam, they're in libraries. You can find them. Many of them online. You go to the neighborhood masjid and find out more about the Islamic faith for yourself. And so he was the one. I said all that to say, to come back to, whenever the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he left Medina. He left who in charge? He left Abdullah Maktoum in charge. Another thing I want to say to you all, he wanted to go to war. He wanted to do the best he can in fighting to establish Islam of those who fought against the people who just want to just practice Islam. That's all. Muslims, they don't go out looking for a fight. People bring the fight to them, and what are they supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when someone come to you and they bring a fight to you? Run scared? Hide? Become their slave? No. And the same thing for the time that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions, people will pick on them, and basically, I guess we call it in America, poke the bear. And so that's what they would do with the people that are all about peace, salam. They're all about peace and living in a peaceful environment, even those who are not Muslim, even those who are not Muslim and they live in the Islamic state, they, with the Jews and the Christians, they were treated with respect. We were not allowed, Muslims were not allowed to destroy their place of worship, interrupt their place of worship. But those people who fought against Muslims or wanted to dominate Muslims, of course, Muslims had no choice but to do what? To fight against them. And so again, let me circle back. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, when he left Medina, who did he leave in charge? Who did I say leave in charge? He left in charge, which was Abdullah ibn Maktoum. And I want to say this other thing about this man, and that is, he went to battle. You say, how could a blind person go to battle? He was the flag bearer. And so what he did, he would just walk holding the flag of Islam into battle. He don't know if someone's swinging a sword this way or arrow come that way. It didn't matter to him. He held up the flag of Islam. Matter of fact, so much so, he was so committed that what he did was he planted his feet into the ground. He sort of opened the hole, if you will, and put his feet into the hole, and then sort of, and this is me paraphrasing, and he put the dirt on over the hole where his feet was in. That way he couldn't run away. He had no intention of running away, and just holding that flag in his hand, and was the flag bearer for the Muslims. And when they found the man, and the man was dead, and they found the man still holding on to the flag to the best of his ability. He would not let go of that flag, and he wasn't going to run forward nor backwards out of the battle. And so I want to mention these things to my beautiful students, and also mention some things about the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. He was a man that encouraged people to be treated with kindness. And he said, Allah is kind and love kindness. And he rewards kindness in a way that he does not reward harshness. And he also mentioned every act of kindness is sadaqah, meaning an act of charity. And kindness includes meeting your brother with a cheerful face and pouring water from your bucket into your brother's bucket. And regarding this too, is that the Muslims love each other so much, and the Prophet taught the Muslims to love each other so much that even in battle, I know I'm saying a lot about battle right now, even in battle, say for example, by three of us, and we're companions of the Prophet. I'm the first person to come. We all laying on the battlefield. We're still alive, but we lay on the battlefield. And so a person tried to give me water first. I'm going to use me for an example. I said, no. Don't give me the water. Give it to number two, to my companion right there. And so they took the water, give it to number two. And he said, no. Don't give it to me, number two. Give it to number three. And so number three said, no. Don't give the water to me. Go take the water back and give it to number one. And by the time they got back to me being number one, I'm dead. And by the time they got back to two, he's dead or she's dead. Allah knows best. And they got to number three, then that person also dead. This dead. This is the love that the companions have for each other. This is what the Prophet Muhammad teaches in terms of showing kindness towards each other. And they mention here about meeting your brother with a cheerful face and pouring water from your bucket into your brother's vessel or into his bucket. I want to read this last thing to my beautiful students, and then I will stop. And that is the message of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him. He said, again, he loves, okay, Allah is kind and he loves kindness and confers upon kindness, which he does not confer upon severity and does not confer upon anything else besides it, meaning kindness. So my beautiful students, I want you to understand and please be kind towards other people. And know that the Prophet Muhammad taught us kindness. There was that moment I mentioned where he did what he did, and Allah immediately scolded him about it and told him about that. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and I think if I understand correctly, he never did anything like that again towards this particular man. Because it hurt him so much that Allah had scolded him about that, and Allah knows best. And may Allah forgive me if I'm saying anything that is wrong pertaining to Prophet Muhammad and his action or reaction after Allah had said what he said to him in the first 16 verses of this particular verse, which is Abasa, A-B-A-S-A. So my beautiful students, I hope that you all treat each other nice, kind, with kindness towards each other, being gentle towards each other, and understand the spirit in which the Prophet Muhammad treated this man, and he really loved this man, that he left this man in charge, let this man teach Quran to the people, lead the people in prayer, left the man in charge of Medina when he left. This man was the one that called the Adhan, called the people to prayer in the morning for the Fajr prayer. So alhamdulillah, this is a beautiful, may praise be to Allah. It's a very, very, very beautiful thing that Allah, and this example that Allah gave in the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and this beautiful example, Abdullah ibn Maktoum, and his commitment to Islam and learning the Quran and leading the prayer and calling the people to prayer and going to battle, even though he couldn't see a thing, going to battle to against those people who did not like Islam, other than just they didn't like Islam and Muslims like many people today. To find out more and learn more about Islam or Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam, I suggest you can always go to Why Islam. Go to the International Online University to learn more about Islam and then get a degree in Islam. And you go to American Open University and also learn more about Islam and get a degree in Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.